Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse number 19. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 19. Paul writing to the followers of Jesus in Ephesus writes these words. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles, the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you are built together spiritually into a dwelling place for God. It's 3 in the morning, 3 a.m. in the morning. Your car is broke down on the side of the road. You don't have AAA or any other roadside assistance. No one will stop and assist you. I don't know if you've ever been there where you're pulled over on the side of the road and the hood is up and people drive by and no one stops. It's one of the reasons why I often stop, because a lot of people just won't stop. But in this case, it's 3 a.m. It's early in the morning. You're on 270. You're on the outer belt. You're pulled over and no one is stopping. You can't call a family member. You can't call your spouse, can't call a family member. Who do you call? Not Ghostbusters. Who do you dial on your phone? Who's in your phone that you say, the only person that I can call is this person? Is there a name right now that just pops right in your head? That is a question that needs to be asked from time to time. You know, now while the scenario I just mentioned involves a disabled vehicle, what about other contexts? What about other situations? Who do you call when you're struggling with sin? Who do you call when you need help with a financial issue? Who do you call when life has you locked up, trapped in, lost without any answers? I would say that the vast majority of people in our world struggle to come up with an answer. People in our world struggle with connection. You see, we have become an isolated society, an isolated community of lone rangers. And so many of us at 3 a.m., if we're on the side of a road and our car is disabled, many of us will try to just figure out a way to fix it ourselves. We'll hike to the next gas station, or we'll do something, and we'll just do it ourselves. This sad reality is not what God imagined when he created humans. In the beginning, God, one of the interesting features of the Hebrew Bible, of the Old Testament, is that first line of scripture. In the beginning, God, Elohim, which is the Hebrew word for creator. The Hebrew word for creator, Elohim, is a plural word. In the beginning, God, plural. We've talked about this. I mentioned it last week, that when God created mankind, he created us out of a context of relationship into a context of relationship. So later on in Genesis chapter 1 in verse 26, God says, let us make humans in our image. From relationship, created into our relationship, into his likeness. His likeness, God's likeness, is one of relationship. God did not create us to be lone rangers. He did not create us to be isolated on an island. He created us to do life together. He created us to be connected. And so as time has progressed, we have discovered ever since the beginning, ever since creation, we have been discovering and inventing ways to disconnect from others. I mean, how many people remember when you used to go to the gas station that you didn't get out of the car to get gas. Remember, you stayed in the car and an attendant came up to you and said, would you like lead or no lead? It wasn't unleaded, it was no lead. Do y'all remember that? I mean, that's a pretty old picture, but y'all remember that when it was black and white? When you went to the gas station and people came up to your car and they said, what can I do for you? Can I get $3? Because gas was only like 20, 30 cents. Can I get $3 or fill her up, you would say, and they would put the nozzle in the tank and start pumping the gas, and then they'd clean your windows, and then they open your hood and check your oil. And now I'm just young enough to remember actually going to a gas station with my dad and that taking place. But over time, you know, we get the self-serve pumps now, and now it's you don't have to go into you don't have to talk to anybody. You get out of the car by yourself, you pump your gas, and you're on your way. No connection. Do you see how in time? Remember, you go to McDonald's and you go and you order a burger and you talk to the person. Hi, welcome to McDonald's. Would you like an apple pie? I mean, you had this whole conversation. You knew it by heart. Now, I was in a McDonald's the other day. You can go in McDonald's and go to a screen and order your food and you don't have to talk to anybody. Go get your fresh now, because they got fresh quarter pounders, it's not frozen. You get your fresh quarter pounder with cheese, and you can be on your way without talking with anybody. Do you see how the more we travel and progress in history, we're discovering more ways to get disconnected. It used to be when you wanted to talk to somebody, you would call them on the phone. And I know that's not in person, but there's still a level of just talking and having conversation. But now it's better for us to text. Why? We can text and get it over with. You know, if I call you, you know, we may stay on the phone we may stay connected too long, but I don't want to stay connected with you for more than just a few seconds. So I'll just text you and we can get it over with. Do you see how we're growing disconnected? We are living life more and more on social media. There is a whole lifestyle on social media, on Facebook and Snapchat and Twitter and Instagram, because that's a way that I can get into other people's lives and I can find out what's going on without really being connected. You're connected, but you're really disconnected. Do you see that the more we progress, the more we find ways to disconnect? This is what it has come to. It's no wonder that we live in a society with more people, but we are less connected. The same is true in churches. Many large churches lament the fact that even though their weekend attendance is high, there is a sense of a loss of connection. There are thousands of people. The biggest church in America is the Highlands Church in Birmingham, Alabama. They average over 40,000 people coming to their campuses in church every Sunday. And they talk about how they have to have small groups and have to do things because even though they celebrate with 40,000 people are disconnected. So even in the church, we are finding ways to disconnect. And so there is some wisdom in the saying that churches need to be large enough to celebrate, but small enough to care. It's important that we gather together and have exciting times of worship and celebration and gatherings like this, 100 or so folks. But it's also important that outside of this time, we gather together in smaller groups, 2, 3, 4, 12 people, where we can get real and get authentic and we can get honest and we can be daring in our conversation and our interactions. And church, I think it's even more important than ever that we get intentional about creating connection points for disciples of Christ and for people in the community, because we suffer from this lack of connection. Just this last week, and this is quite simply, church, one of the most alarming statistics that we could ever read, but just as last week, CDC, Center for Disease Control, reported that since 1999, the suicide rate is up 30%. 30%. Just this past week, you know, we read the news and saw the news of two celebrities, Kate Spade, Anthony Bourdain, both tragically lost their lives to suicide. Every day on average, 20 military veterans commit suicide. These numbers are, I mean, it's sad. It just makes you sick, right? That's where we're at. And listen, I know that I don't know all the particular situations with these instances of suicide, and I know there's mental illness involved. It's all those types of things. I know. But I would venture to say that in many instances of suicide, I would say in the vast majority of instances of suicide, if you look deeper at the story of that person, you will find that there was some disconnection. It's like we live closer, but we live far apart. It is the desire of the Reynoldsburg Church of Christ for people to feel connected. I'm talking genuinely connected. And it's our heart's desire that the beginning of one's feeling of connection start with an understanding of God's desire to be connected with you. Listen again to Paul's writing in Ephesians. This is from the Message version. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 16. He says, Christ brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of the hostility. Christ came and preached peace to you outsiders and peace to us insiders. He treated us as equals and so made us equals. Through him, we both share the same spirit and have equal access to the Father. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home country. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here with as much right to the name Christian as anyone. God is building a home. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here. And what he is building, he used the apostles and prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all the parts together. We see it taking shape day after day, a holy temple built by God. All of us built into it, a temple in which God is quite at home. Do you see that Jesus did some work on the cross that brought us together? He brought us first as individuals back in reconciliation with God. That was the first act of Christ's work on the cross of reconciling us back to God, bringing us back together after the fall. Sin messed everything up, but Jesus did something to bring us back into relationship with God. And by doing that, when he brings you into relationship with God, and he brings you into relationship with God, and when he brings you into relationship with God, do you see that he is bringing us together? God is knitting us together. The work of Christ is to bring us together. The work of Christ is to connect us to God and to each other. No matter what your background, no matter what your issue is, no matter your height or your weight or your nationality or your language, he is bringing us all together. And so Paul says, we were once disconnected, but we are now connected. We were once excluded, we are now included. We were once foreigners, we are now citizens. We were once without identity, we now have a new identity. We were once without hope, we now have hope. We were once far away, but now we are near to God. You and I belong here. We belong. That is some of the most comforting words that we could ever speak to each other in the body of Christ. That we belong, that we are welcome here. We are a part of this body. Is this your water? Can I have some? Me. Okay, I'm good. You and I belong here. That is a truth that we all need to hear. That is a truth that so many people out here who are living alone, who are living disconnected, who are living on the side of the road with people walking or riding by them, not willing to stop and help. They need to hear that they are, that they belong, that they are welcome, that they are part of this, that, that Christ did some work to bring us together. That is a truth that we all need to hear. We belong, we are connected to God, and this truth needs to be repeated, reiterated, and retold through our active participation with one another in small groups, small communities in the church. This is why we are a believer in the blessing of small group ministry. This is why we believe that it is important that you have interaction with brothers and sisters outside of this gathering. This is why we are marching toward a relaunch of small group ministry with a more dedicated effort to provide more options so that everyone here is involved in a small group community. Now, it is not my contention that small groups will solve mental illness, prevent every instance of suicide, or cure depression. I do contend that as our society grows more and more disconnected, we need to be more vigilant to live in a way of Jesus who performed powerful acts of healing and ministry in the confines of small groups. Read the Gospels. Yeah, there were the moments where Jesus stood up before crowds and spoke. But where the transformational stuff started taking place, or the stuff that it took place when he was with the 12, or he was with the three, or he was just with another person. Transformational things takes place in small groups. And as a church, in this disconnected society, in this disconnected world, we need to be vigilant in living a way of Jesus. Some of you have your own stories of transformation as a part of a regular small group, or a men's group that you're part of, or a ladies group that you're part of, or accountability group that you're a part of. And I would love to hear your stories. I want you to share with me your stories. I would love for you to share with the rest of the body your stories. I want us to just hear briefly some stories of some members of another church and how small groups have impacted their faith and their life in Jesus. Let's watch this short video.
I moved down here about 2 years ago from Ohio with a friend. So I didn't know many people. I didn't know who I could trust.
We had a grandson that had an incurable disease.
We give each other support on a daily basis, I think.
Two good friends of mine brought me back to the Lord and made me realize a lot of things.
And I have felt that they've come alongside me and cheered me up and provided some moral support.
And then we go about our week knowing that there's other people in this group that are praying for whatever's going on in our life, so we never feel alone. We know that we're being supported continuously by prayer.
Being placed in this Bible study, I have learned and met some great people who are there for me when I am going through a tough time.
The ladies and I have kind of grown close together. We've shared ups and downs together, and I think we're a really, really tight group.
My mom went through surgery in early June, and I felt like I had the support of the group with me and praying for her recovery.
The small group prayed on it. We turned it over to Pastor Jerry.
Sharing helped them through things, and then they help you through things.
Just knowing that they're there for us if we ever need anything. We can always email each other or call each other on the phone.
5 days after everybody started praying for it, he was healed.
Once you start to open up to someone you can trust, I think it's a great outlet to get yourself away from all the chaos that's in the world today and come to this peaceful gathering where you can share, you know, your failures, your success, and some tough things that are going through your life.
Never doubt God, because God, if it's meant to happen, God's going to make it happen.
Anyone out there who's thinking about a small group and just thinking about, you know, what it's about, things like that, find someone and ask them that's in a group right now And I guarantee it will change your life.
I think one of the key phrases I heard in that video is that you're never alone. Man, that is something that can be so encouraging and uplifting to know that I'm never alone. I've had people in churches. I've had people in this church tell me that, man, Sunday mornings is one of the loneliest times of my entire week. And we could go on and judge that person and say, well, they're not making the most of it, or I'm just telling you that there are people who feel alone. And one of the reasons why we're trying to go all in when it comes to ensuring and providing opportunities for people to connect in outside of here in smaller groups so that no one could ever make that claim. Or if they do make that claim, we're going to do something about that shortly. No one in the body of Christ, no one who is a follower of Jesus, should ever feel like they are alone. We want everyone here to be part of a small group community, not because it's some cool fad, but because we believe it is vital to you, or that you allow God to surround you with folks that will serve you as your 3 a.m. phone a friend. I believe that if you commit to living a life in a small group, you will soon discover who that person or persons will be for you. I can tell you one of mine. I don't mind sharing this, but Perry Brown is one of my 3 a.m. phone calls. Particularly when it comes to cars, he knows some stuff about cars. I remember one day, it wasn't 3 a.m., but it was 3 in the afternoon, and I ran into a flash flood, and it took the bumper off of my car. And I'm sitting in a Kroger parking lot, like, who do I call? I know who. I call Perry. Well, Perry and I mean, we've been meeting in a small group for years. It's one of those things that you learn about. Some of you, again, if I ask you who you call, I guarantee it's going to be the person or persons that you meet often and regularly with. Things happen. We would love for everyone in here, like we want to, you know, make up a card that says, you know, are you a Christian? Yes. Do you love God? Yes. Who's your 3 a.m. phone a friend? And if you don't have one, man, we would love to work with you to make sure that you discover a 3 a.m. Phone a friend. Now, while these recent sermons are for the purpose of stoking our interest and participation in small groups, I want to offer a word to those of you who find themselves in a 3 a.m. bind. Your car isn't broken down on the side of the road, but your life is in shambles. You have a weight on your shoulders that you cannot carry any longer. You are being crushed under the stress of the situation. Who do you have on your cell phone to call? Who will receive that call when you are now stuck in this dire situation? Well, I want to first urge you to call on the name of the Lord. Call out to God for help. Call him, call his name out. Call him, yell out to him. Cry out to him, say, help me, God. Save me. Heal me. Fix me. Connect me to you. James says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. If you find yourself right now in a 3 a.m. bind, I want you to call out to God first. But I'm praying that as we all submit to God and we draw near to God, that we will also draw near to others and submit to others. I pray that we will all consider the blessing of connecting in small group communities. I pray that the body of Christ would be the antidote to the epidemic of lost connection in our world. Because sadly, we've not heard the last of those who are so lonely right now and so disconnected that they are going to conclude that their only remedy is to do the unthinkable. That's not just happening in Hollywood, church. It's not just happening in the military, church. It's happening in the body of Christ. And there are people who are just being crushed under the weight of a situation or a circumstance, and they feel like they can't tell anybody. They feel like they're all alone. They feel like they're the only one going through it. Isn't it incredible for those of you who participate in small group, the times when you actually are courageous enough and brave enough to share in your small group a situation that you're going through, that whether it's during that time or after the group is over, someone comes to you and says, you know what? I struggle with the exact same thing. And it just completely dispels that notion that you're all alone. You see, again, God created us to do life together. And I'm telling you that when you do life together, you'll find out that there are people walking through the same stuff. There's people going through some job stuff right now. There are people right now going through the exact same job stuff you're going. There are people going through marriage stuff. That there are people going through the same exact stuff that you're going through or did. And they got through it, and God brought you together to help you to get through it. I think God is amazing. I think God uses a lot of things. I think the most important resource that God uses in the redemption of people is other people. See, I thank God that he put you all in my life. And listen, I praise God that for many of you, I've been a friend to you or someone to help you. But I'm not the only one. There are plenty of people in here wanting to be that 3 a.m. phone a friend. Perhaps over the next couple of years, as we reinvigorate our small group ministry, you'll have a folder on your phone, 3 a.m. phone of friends, and you have a list. That would be awesome. And that would be a result of what Christ did on the cross by bringing us and connecting us to God and connecting us to one another. So let's pray for the future of our small group ministry. And let's pray for the future in the way that God will connect us in this body of Christ. Let's say a quick prayer right now. God, thank you so much for your love and for what Christ did and how he has connected us and how you have provided for us opportunities to grow in you and to grow with other people. And God, I know that the prospect of getting into other people's homes or inviting them into our own homes or leading groups is for some of us something we never thought about and maybe feel like that's something we would never consider. God, I'm praying right now that you would touch hearts and minds right now to help us to reconsider and to think deeply about how we can serve in this disconnected world in a way that connects others to you and connect others to one another. Father, we pray for the families and friends and loved ones of those who have recently taken their lives. And God, I don't know what type of pain someone has to go through to believe that that is the remedy. But God, it's a reality for so many people. So God, I'm praying that you would lead us into the stories of those who struggle, who struggle with being so alone and so disconnected. God, as we pray, continue to empower us by your Holy Spirit, embolden us in your Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, on the website, Reynoldsburg.church, if you go to that website, you will see a section there that is a way for me to gather some of you who are interested in being a small group leader or a small group host. If you go to the website, Reynoldsburg.church, click on that. There's a place for you to put your name, a place for you to put your email or your phone number that will come directly to me. And I will contact you about talking further and deeply about our small group ministry in the realm of leadership and hosting. And then later on, we'll have another portal for those of you who just want to join a different small group. Is that all right, church? Think about that. As praise team comes forward, we will sing this song, A Shield About Me. Again, I'm speaking to those of you who may be at a 3 a.m. moment in your life, and you're stuck on the side of the road, and you need help. I offer to you that God is willing to help. God is willing to get involved in your life. And we as the body of Christ are willing to get involved in your life through prayer, through support, through conversation. So if there's something that we can be praying about, that we can be calling on the name of the Lord about, there are people here that pray daily, no matter what, about the needs and concerns of members in this church. If there is something that you want us to pray that right now, I mean, we'll do it right now. We'll surround you and we'll pray over you that God will rescue you out of your 3 a.m. Situation. Or maybe today is the day that you want to give your life to Jesus like Samantha did, like Sally did. You want to make a profession of faith. You want to be baptized into Jesus Christ. We'll do that too. If there's something that we can do for you as a body of Christ, as this connected, joined together body of Christ, please let us do that for you. Let's stand. Let's sing.